former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is hour number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi here. 1 hour down, one to go. We got a lot of fun left to go here on the show.
Yeah, busy hour.
We have our buddy Jordan Schultz from The Score that's going to join us in about 15 minutes. But joining us right now as we kick off our parade of guests, It's our buddy, Hall of Fame oddsmaker over at the South Point Hotel and Casino. You know him, you love him. He is Vinny Maiulo. Vinny, hope all is well.
Hello, Vinny.
Good morning, man. How are you? Parade of guests. Wow. I'm in the parade.
There you go.
It's like the Easter parade.
Yeah, it is.
But you're the first one leading us off, though, and that's not by accident.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, I got to set the table, I guess. Okay.
You do. Let's start in Augusta, Georgia, Vinny. Mm-hmm. Let's start with the table there.
Oh, my.
And what do we know? What have we learned? And what are the hot bets here?
Let me say this about Augusta. You know, I've talked about it oftentimes. You always have big events, right, guys? We know about the Super Bowl and March Madness, which we just came through. The Masters is the number one wagered golf event, not only major, but golf event of the year. And a lot of it, I think, has to do, not to overuse the word tradition, but the fact is that because there's that familiarity, it's always at the same course, unlike the other majors. So there's that familiarity. It's grown in popularity, particularly over the last couple of decades. And we treat it as such. I mean, it's up for almost a year. So it's like a lot of other future books when you look at it. When you look at Super Bowl futures, World Series futures, Stanley Cup futures, NBA title futures, the Masters is there in terms of length of time. Now, does it do as much as those futures? Not necessarily. However, it does get adjusted during the event, although today wasn't a lot of adjustment because of the weather, and they moved up the times. However, we did put up new matchups for today. So we'll have more props for the Masters than any other golf event. So you've got the future book, you've got head-to-heads for the entire event, and then you've got head-to-heads by day. The Masters gets treated with the attention that it needs because the bettors want that. As far as who they bet this week, I have got to tell you, Brooks Koepka got some attention. I mean, he was as high as 80-1. And so there's a few tickets on Brooks Koepka, and some folks took advantage of that price. Tommy Fleetwood got action. Jason Day. Phil Mickelson got action. I mean, that was more sentimental. Of course, you've always got tickets on Tiger and things like that. But I do want to point out one other thing, guys, because, again, I mentioned it yesterday when I was on with Amal and Patrick, because there's still people kind of calling and trying to figure out what happens with players that either withdrew or either before the tournament, like Will Zalatoris, and then you've got a situation like Kevin Na yesterday. Here at South Point, Kevin Na, those bets were action because he did tee off. Will Zalatoris was a refund because he did not tee off at all. So you want to pay attention. Not everybody has the same house rules. Not everybody has the same stipulations. So you want to pay particular attention to those rules and stipulations depending on where you bet.
You know, it's interesting, Vinny, because I'm looking at the odds board or the leaderboard right now, and the projected cut line is +1. A guy like Rory McIlroy, who is looking to complete the career Grand Slam, he's 4 over, so he's 3 back through 10 right now of that cut line. With somebody like Rory missing the cut, with so many people wanting to bet on him to make history, how would that go for you guys there at the South Point?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, you know, folks would want to see him make the cut because, you know, he's very colorful, he's very popular. Although we didn't get as much money on Rory this event, we typically do, and he's one of the shorter priced golfers. I mean, he's always popular. I mean, he opened 8-1, so he was one of the shorter prices and one of the favorites going into the event when we posted it. But could it affect it? I don't think it'll affect it that much because you'll still have name players. You've got this, undercurrent, and you know, maybe it's to some people it's more of an undercurrent with this whole LIV situation and who's playing and who's not, and you know, who's going to be in. I mean, when you've got Koepka, as the people that have the money on him, that's not going to, you know, lessen the handle. And again, as I mentioned, Koepka got plenty of betting attention. Would it be better if Rory was in it? For sure. But you know what, they do such a great job with the coverage too. I mean, it'll still draw and it'll still get the action, and we'll have the adjusted head-to-head matchups during the course of the weekend too. So as long as we do that, I think the handle will be just fine.
And the weather, how do you handicap the weather, Vinny, as it relates to what's moving forward?
Yeah, we're at the mercy of it, Michael, right? I mean, again, they adjusted the tee times today. I think the weather tomorrow is supposed to be really bad. So, it's harder to it'll impact somewhat the future, the adjusted future book, right? Because of the fact that they're going to go earlier, even though we're open 24 hours. But, we're still going to have head-to-heads up and everything like that. But it's hard to handicap the weather, from our perspective. I think the golfers and the committee, the tournament committee, did that job really for us in terms of adjusting the tee times.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun here the weekend at Augusta. We get the LIV situation with Brooks Koepka, and then we have some other big names like Jon Rahm and those guys, Jason Day near the top of the leaderboard. Should be a lot of fun here. We're speaking with Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker over at the South Point Hotel and Casino. I know, Vinny, we got the NBA playoffs that are about to be tipping off here coming up next week. The play-in tournament is going to be Tuesday through Friday. So it's an exciting time in the association. Are bettors diving into the waters here with the final couple of days? Because it's kind of hard keeping tabs of who's going to be in, who's going to be out. And we know a lot of teams kind of punting the end of the season here.
Yeah, it's I have to tell you, just before I came into studio here, you've got teams with not just injuries, but who's resting, who's clinched, who's, kind of locked in a position, who's trying to play in, who's trying to improve their position, everything like that. I mean, it's such a crapshoot with the NBA and the way that it played out this year. I think the good part is we shouldn't see, there'll be injuries, obviously, right? But, we won't see load management issues during the playoffs. So people are gearing up for it, and again, Sunday's the last day, then we'll get the matchups, there'll be the play-in part. NBA playoffs, extremely popular, particularly the first few rounds. I mean, everybody gets excited about the finals and everything, but in the beginning, because there's so many games, and that's good, and people really enjoy and migrate to it. So it's one of the better times of year, not only for sports, but for the NBA. And then a few days later, you got the NHL playoffs, which is the most popular time for hockey. Right. And when you look at the four major sports during the course of the year here in the state of Nevada, particularly, you've got, obviously, football is number one. Basketball is number two. Baseball is number three. And a lot of that has to do with the length of the season, the amount of games. And then hockey is number four. But hockey during the playoffs is a whole new level. And it's become so much more popular, particularly with the introduction and the success of the Vegas Golden Knights. Obviously, last year the local handle wasn't as strong because the Knights didn't make the playoffs. However, this year they are. In fact, they're vying for the number one seed in the Western Conference. So that'll bode well. But as far as this time of year, NBA playoffs, extremely popular with folks, and people are looking at their futures now. Do they have futures? Is there something that they want to add to in terms of futures, right? I mean, you look at a team like the Sacramento Kings, which were, one of the longer shots going into the season, and the success that they've had. Now the question is, if you got a ticket on the Kings, then you're looking at, well, now I know they're in the playoffs. Do I press that some more? Or actually, because there were such long odds, you've got them now where you might look at take a shot at a team like the Warriors, right, who are, hopefully going to get healthier. They've been there. Their pedigree is what it is. So that's the kind of strategy that bettors are looking at when it comes to the futures. But then, again, there'll be series prices as well that I think a lot of, folks will be looking at, particularly professional bettors, too, picking their spots to look for value, especially with some underdogs in head-to-head matchups during the first couple of rounds.
Vinny, we only have 2 minutes left, but I wanted to touch base on the NFL draft. What do you have odds? Yeah. Have you done who's first overall pick, and where do you have Anthony Richardson's draft prop?
Actually, Michael, we don't have any of the props up yet, and because of the uncertainty of it, frankly, Mike.
Yeah,
I know, I was listening very closely to your guys before. I have to tell you, the NBA draft is one of the more challenging events to book, frankly, because there is so much uncertainty, and you put up things so early, and then all of a sudden, like a trade occurs, right? When you look at, you know, there were props up, and again, I'm not knocking it. I think it's great that some folks did take the time to put up some very early props on who would be the number one draft pick, and then all of a sudden, you know, the Bears and the Panthers make a deal, right? So it's a completely different dynamic. Not only for those two teams, but associated teams, you know, other teams as well. So it's too unpredictable. I mean, look, is he probably going to be the number one defensive player? Yeah, I would be surprised if he's not. But again, that so many things change so quickly, and frankly, there's you know, information that gets out there. You have to always sift through what's fact and what's fiction. But the fact of the matter is, somebody does know what's going to transpire with a particular team, and it's a little bit treacherous this early.
Well, the draft just less than 3 weeks away. He is Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker over at the South Point.
Thank you so much,
Vinny. Thanks for joining us, man.
Good to be with you.
Good to have Vinny on the show as well. Oh, by the way, Michael, before we head to break, Jason Day just double bogeyed, so he's now 5 back.
Yeah, and Koepka's in at 12.
Koepka's into the clubhouse.
67 today. Wow.
Pretty good score for Brooks Koepka. Jordan Schultz of The Score joins us next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Femi Abebefe. We're hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. We just had Vinny Maiulo on in the last segment, Hall of Fame odds maker over at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Always a pleasure when Vinny joins the show and joining us now.
Yeah. Oh. Well, no, I thought it was interesting. You know, he's concerned about the draft prop, which I think South Point doesn't put it up, which means that they don't have any inside info. So it's kind of an even playing field for the fans out there if you get the right information. And Jordan Schultz is a guy that can give us the right information.
Yes, he is going to give us the right information. The insider for the NFL over at The Score, he is Jordan Schultz, joining us here on the Lombardi Line. Jordan, hope all is well. Thanks for joining us this morning or afternoon, wherever you might be. What's the latest that you're hearing with the number one overall pick? Is it Young or Stroud going to Carolina?
I think it's going to be Bryce Young. Now, that doesn't mean that Carolina doesn't like C.J. Stroud. Obviously, there was a lot to like about his workout, and I think all these guys have helped themselves in their pro days. When it comes to Young, though, there's a Steph Curry-like 2.0 feel to him that a couple teams have told me about. And what that means is just the way that he can throw the football is so otherworldly and so smooth and talented that I think it's really hard to pass him up at one. And obviously, as you both know, the knock on him has been size. He's slight. He's not 220, 6'3". But I think there's so much to like about him. He's so smart. And I was even talking about him with Bijan Robinson as well as C.J. Stroud. And Bijan was telling me that, you know, firsthand when he saw Bryce Young, how impressive it was late in the game that he made those couple plays that needed to be made against Texas that really were the difference. And I think, you know, Stroud, you could say, well, he did a lot of the same things against Georgia in the national semifinal when he was tremendous. And I think he answered a lot of the questions. Could he move around the pocket? Could he create that wizardry type of plays? And I think both of them have it. But I think when it comes to Carolina at one, it will be Bryce Young.
I agree, Jordan. I really do, and I've been saying it. I think the tape doesn't lie, and the tape says Young. Not that Stroud's not a good player. I think there's some risk in Stroud, but the tape doesn't lie on Young. It, to me, it's not close, and I think what Robinson said, I think most players that competed against Bryce Young would echo those sentiments, that he's unique, his arm is incredible, much better than what most people thought based on his size. So I agree there. How about Anthony Richardson? To me, I'll share with you what I've heard and see what you heard.
Yeah.
To me, I don't hear him in the top five. I don't hear him in the top 10. I hear athletically, I hear wonderful. I hear he's a year away from being 2 years away, that you just, you're not sure about it. There's some debate about how can he come along, where he should have gone back to school. Give us your take on that.
So I think there's a couple things with Anthony Richardson that are really important. Number one, he is the youngest quarterback in this class. He's 20 years old. And, you know, one of the things that stands out to me was when he really needed to make plays against some of the top teams, LSU, for example, he did. Now, he certainly had his lion's share of not so great plays because he is young, he is inexperienced, and Florida did not have the type of talent in terms of the receiving weapons and skill positions that some of these other teams did. And I think that's really important as well. When it comes to Richardson, though, you know, he is the unicorn or even alien of this class in terms of his athletic profile, pushing 6'5", running in the 4.4s, the cannon of an arm. I mean, these are things that I would say, Michael, are not even generational. They're once in a lifetime in terms of some of the gifts. And I think he is probably a couple, 3 years away. And that's why I mentioned a team like, and maybe this will surprise you, but the Lions at 7, for example, where he could sit behind Goff for a year or two. Goff has one more year left on his deal. Maybe it's a team like that where he doesn't have to play right away and he can take his time. But I think in terms of the upside, there's no doubt that he'll go in the first round. I don't know where that is, but I think all five of these guys are first-round picks, including Hendon Hooker and Will Levis.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not disputing he'll go in the first, Jordan. I definitely see that. I think the value, his skill set is too good. Hey, Hendon Hooker, to me, you know, he's been getting a lot of pub. I'm not sure that, you know, when you break it down, he's not going to play next year. He's going to miss the whole season. You got to pick up the fifth year with basically 3 years of work. But, you know, if you can't get him at the top of the second, there's some team maybe at the bottom of the first. I'm a little leery of that. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It makes sense in the mock drafts. It doesn't make sense in terms of being in the draft room. But, you know, where are you on Jalen Carter and the off-the-field incidents?
Yeah, one thing I'll mention, too, about Hooker, you know, Michael, is I would actually ask you, is the main problem with him the fact that he's 25? Is that a real issue?
It's a huge issue. Yeah, sure it is. It's a huge issue. He's going to be 26 before he plays. You're going to basically get one contract. And then I think you add another layer to it is as good as he was in college, that offense is not a pro-style offense. I know they're in four receivers. They're in one protection all the time. He's looking at half of the field. And so you've got to go back to Virginia Tech and kind of watch him play there a little bit to kind of see how he does. He's got great character. He's got great accuracy. He's got great size. He's fearless in the pocket. There's a lot to like about him. But when you're talking about a first-round pick, you know, you're not going to have him for a year, and he's coming off a knee, and he's older. So those are the things that add up against him. It's not that you dislike the player, but, you know, what happens in mock drafts is we don't grade players. We put them in a round. And when you have a grading system, there's only so high you could grade players, and most teams have grading systems.
Yeah, I would say 32 touchdowns total, 2 picks. SEC Offensive Player of the Year, checks all the character boxes. And then, you know, we can transition to Jalen Carter, who, you know, I don't know Jalen Carter. I don't know if he's a good guy or if he's immature or whatever it is. But I can tell you that I have no doubt that he does – worth his floor is Philly at 10. I don't see him getting past there. Obviously, he's in Indianapolis when he was sent home. He had to go back to Georgia. Then he comes back the next day. It was strange. And then he obviously has a pro day where he's not able to finish. He's not in great shape. But I think the talent, and as you mentioned, the tape is tremendous. And I don't really see how he gets past Philadelphia at 10.
You know, one thing, Femi, Philly does have two players on their team. They've got Davis and Dean, two Georgia players. That's a great resource for you as a general manager because you can go to them and say, okay, I need the real deal here. Like, don't lie to me. Tell me about this kid. you know, and really, and this is going to stay in the room. It's not getting out. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to say anything to anybody, but I need to know what you know about this kid, because he's going to be, if I draft him, he's your teammate, and you got to be right about it. That's a huge help.
Yeah, I think that's kind of similar to the situation we saw with the Arizona Cardinals when they drafted Tyrann Mathieu. They had Patrick Peterson already there at LSU who played with him, and then they kind of were able to bounce that off there, and they were comfortable going with Tyrann Mathieu. Jordan, I want to ask you about the Seattle Seahawks, though, because when you were talking about Anthony Richardson, you brought up the Detroit Lions as a potential situation where they could use Jared Goff as that bridge quarterback while Richardson is still developing. Do you think Seattle is still in this quarterback market near the top of the draft, or are they mainly looking toward one of these top defensive guys, whether it be an edge rusher or a defensive tackle?
I know Seattle likes him. Obviously, they're at five because of the Russell Wilson trade. They can do a whole lot of things. I don't think they're going to go quarterback at five. I think they have other, including pass rush. You know, Javon Carr is another guy that makes sense. They could go corner with Gonzalez or Witherspoon. I would be surprised, even though I know they like Richardson, if they went that route, given the fact that they have a Pro Bowl quarterback who played really good football for most of last season, and Geno Smith there.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think when you're up there that high, I mean, I think you got I could see Carter being their guy. Mm-hmm. Like, one thing Pete knows, and Pete understands this better than anybody, he hasn't had a dominant front. Hasn't had a three technique. Now, they signed Dermonte Jones this offseason from Denver, Michael Bennett. So they haven't had that kind of – he knows he needs to improve that defensive front. And when you get a pickup here – you got to make sure if it's a rusher, it's got to be a perfect, whether it's Will Anderson, Walker, whomever you pick. Carter makes a lot of sense here.
Yeah, and also, you know, I mentioned Gonzalez. He fits that profile of the big, long corners. And you think about potentially they have Tariq Woolen, who was one of the best players in the league defensively for most of last season. They have Kobe Bryant at Cincinnati, a really technically sound young corner. If you were to add a guy like Gonzalez, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Another guy, Harry Wilson, the edge at Texas Tech, another enticing player. I don't know if he goes as high as five, but to Michael's point, I think they will find another need to address that first at five.
Hey, Jordan, we got 15 seconds left. Lamar Jackson in 2023 will be playing where?
Wow. On the spot, fellas, I like it. I'm going to go Ravens. Maybe I could be wrong, but right now, this second, I'm going to go Ravens based
awesome.
On that.
Thanks, Jordan.
Save the best for last. He is Jordan Schultz, NFL insider over at The Score, joining us here on the Lombardi Line. We appreciate it, Jordan. Have a good one. All right. How about that? Richardson?
I mean, when you don't know, stay with the home team, right?
Yeah, might as well. Stay with the home team. We'll be back on the other side to talk to our buddy Matt Youmans, little Masters. See what he's cooking up over at Augusta National next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get everything you need to bet on baseball this season with 24/7 streaming, daily best bet emails, including advice, data, and strategy for only $9.99. Our experts are also getting ready for golf's first major of the year at Augusta. For this year's Masters Betting Guide, Wes Reynolds profiles every player in the field, and Matt Youmans tells his best bets. Sign up today to get full access to VSiN through the NFL draft for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi. Speaking of Matt Youmans, Michael.
Yeah.
He's going to join us right now on the Lombardi Line to talk a little Masters Augusta National. We are in the middle of the second round over there in Georgia. Matt Youmans joining us, host of VSiN Tonight and also our betting analyst and editor and does a lot of stuff here at the network. Youmans, hope all is well, buddy. As we sit here through about a round and a half, has there been anything that has surprised you? I mean, Koepka at the top of the leaderboard surprised me, but I'm curious to get your take.
Yeah, Brooks Koepka at the top of the leaderboard right now, it's a nightmare at Augusta. Nobody wanted to see this scenario. Nobody. unless you were a sellout to the Saudi League, you're not rooting for Brooks Koepka. And the fact he's got a five-stroke lead right now on Friday, early Friday afternoon, is not a good thing for anybody. I think it's maybe a small handful of bettors. You got Brooks Koepka at around 70, 80 to 1 after he won that live event on the Goat Ranch in Florida last week. But there was not much to indicate that Koepka was a guy to bet this week. He had been talking a lot of smack for 3 years, had been underachieving, not backing it up, had been in a slump, and then he wins last week, and all of a sudden he finds his form. I guess it's all about getting hot at the right time, and Koepka did have some decent course history at Augusta, so it's not a total surprise, but the fact he's got a five-shot lead right now is, I think, a little bit discouraging. Hopefully John Rahm or somebody else can catch him from behind and do some good for the world this weekend. Let's hope that that happens. Aside from that, hey, look who's in second, too.
Sam Bennett. Yeah.
An amateur from Texas A&M is in second. So it's not the type of – it's kind of like the Final Four when you have Florida Atlantic, San Diego State, and Miami show up, and everybody said, who the hell invited them to the party? That's what's happening here at the top of the leaderboard at Augusta.
Were you surprised in Rory's play so far in this tournament? I mean, everybody had expectations that Rory was going to play good, and it just didn't look like it was coming together for him.
Well, it's interesting. We talked about this last night on our show with Wes Reynolds, and Rory has been a slow starter at the Masters almost every time he's been there, with one exception. But Rory has a track record of slow starts at Augusta, so no, I really wasn't surprised. He shot even par yesterday. It's going to be tricky here on the weekend. We'll see if the rain shows up like it's in the forecast, and if Saturday is going to be a really troublesome day in terms of getting all the golf in because of the rain and possible lightning, and that's going to affect scores on the weekend. But Rory's got to get hot here at some point. You can't wait too long when you got Brooks Koepka at 12 under. So, yeah, Michael, I guess from that perspective, I did not expect him to be 12 strokes off the lead at this point, but Rory's never been a fast starter here, so I don't think that's a big surprise.
I mean, Rory might not make it to the weekend. He's five over right now for his round today. So he's three back of that potential cut line here right now. Plus two is where the projected cut. We're speaking with Matt Youmans, host of VSiN Tonight, and as well as VSiN golf betting analyst and college football betting analyst as well. I know Michael has some college football questions. But Youmans, I want to ask you, though, about Tiger Woods, because Tiger has just teed off moments ago. He's through two holes, even par. Do you expect Tiger to be playing this weekend? And what have you made of his round so far?
I didn't know Rory had soared to five over. Last I saw, he was two over. So if Rory is five over, he's going to be playing golf with Michael Lombardi's son and me out in Vegas. At five over, he's probably not going to make it. I wasn't too surprised what Tiger did yesterday at two over, because even though I was his worst opening round at the Masters since 2005, he has not been a fast starter out here either. I thought he was going to shoot right around par yesterday. It was a fight for him. He struggled, I think, really to finish two over. And today he's basically got to go out there and try to shoot two under to stay relevant on the weekend. Tiger, I think right now his goal is to make the cut. He's made 22 straight cuts at Augusta. 23 would tie the record. And let's be realistic. If you're betting on Tiger to win this event, you're a fool, because he's only played once in 2023, and he was not going to show up and win. I think even Tiger, in the back of his mind, even though he tells people, hey, I'm not going to show up here unless I know I can win, he knows he's not going to win, or he strongly suspects he's not going to win. His goal is make the cut, maybe finish top 20, and be relevant on the weekend, and right now he's in danger of that not happening.
Yeah. Matt, let's shift to the NFL draft, right? I know you get involved in that. What's your take on this Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud? You watch a lot of college football. We've seen the market now shift back to Bryce Young. Femi and I have talked about it on the pod for a long time. We've talked about Bryce Young is going to be the first pick, but now the market seems to adjust it to it. Where are you on this?
I think Bryce Young should be the number one pick. All the college football I've watched, his instincts are off the chart. His football IQ is off the charts. Everything about Bryce Young is outstanding. All his characteristics are outstanding except for his size. You know, he's 5'10", 190, 195. You got to put some muscle on him. He's got to get a little bit stronger when he gets to the league. But he's got all the, I think, attributes you want in a franchise quarterback. He's a highly intelligent guy with, top-level skills and instincts, and that would be my top pick. C.J. Stroud, a little bit more inconsistent. I know he's bigger, but let's not get caught up in size, okay? Because Drew Brees was barely 6 feet, and Ryan Leaf was 6'5".
Yeah.
Okay, so it doesn't really matter if a guy's 3 inches taller or what. I think that's – You know, I don't really like a tiny quarterback like Kyler Murray. But Kyler Murray's a freak in terms of athletic ability and the way he can just run around. It's like a video game. He can just run around and make plays. But also, he doesn't have the – I don't think he's got the work ethic and the intelligence maybe that a guy like Bryce Young has in terms of how he's going to prepare for games and how he's going to lead a franchise, right? I think Bryce Young is going to be step in and be a leader. Kyler Murray's not a leader. That's kind of what I'm getting at. So I think Bryce Young's got it all. And to me, he's just got a little bit of an edge on C.J. Stroud. I want to ask you guys quickly, because I've been working on the NFL draft here the past few days. Are quarterbacks definitely going to go 1-2, or might there be a curveball at number 2? And do you think Will Anderson of Alabama, edge rusher, is going to go number 3?
You know, that's a great question. We've been talking about it all day today, Matt. And I'm not sure that there's a lock for it to go 1-2. When have these mocks ever been right? I mean, you know, they all look stunned on draft day when it doesn't go as planned. I don't know why they do, but they all do, you know. And so Houston's got 12. You know, Will Anderson, to me, is a tad overrated. You know, when you watch him play against Tennessee, you know, he struggled against Wright. You know, he's not as dominating as we're making him out to be Von Miller, and I'm not sure. Now, Carter, to me, is a dominating player from Georgia. I could see D'Amico Ryans, who has a lot of impact within that organization. I mean, Nick Cesario's the general manager, but D'Amico Ryans has as much say on who's to pick. I could see him picking the best defensive lineman out there, because that's how he won and got his head coaching job with San Francisco. Like, are you going to settle for a maybe quarterback, or are you going to settle for a sure thing defensive lineman? Look, it worked out for San Francisco. They took Nick Bosa, you know, and they found their quarterback down the road. So I don't think it's a lock. I think Carter, it's going to come down to the character and all the situations off the field, because if he was perfectly clean off the field, he would be the second pick overall. He could easily be – you could make the case that he's the best pick.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that too. I think Jalen Carter's got a little bit of baggage he's carrying into this draft. And if not for that, he'd probably be the number 2 pick. But what do the Texans do at quarterback? Are you going to another year with Davis Mills, or
they signed Case Keenum, right? So they paid Case Keenum, which we can't figure out why they would do that. And so, you know, maybe at 12 they think they could get, you know, Richardson's no lock to go 4. I mean, everybody thinks, well, the Colts have to trade up. Well, why?
Right.
Why? You know, maybe they'll take Levis at 12. You know, if he makes it to them, maybe they'll take the kid from Purdue in the second round, or maybe they'll take the Fresno State kid in the second round. I'm not sure that it's as locked that they're going to take the quarterback as everybody makes it out to be. Now, if they took Stroud and they love Stroud, okay. But if you love a defensive lineman and you're not sure about the quarterback and you just signed a 6-year contract, maybe you're a little bit more patient.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think they don't have to take a quarterback at 2, because, like you said, you do have options with your other picks. But at some point, you got to take a quarterback, because you can't go into the future with Davis Mills and Case Keenum as your 1 and 2.
No question.
To win. Femi, before we check out here, what do you think? Who goes number 2?
Whew, number 2. I think I'm going to still lean C.J. Stroud as of right now. Yeah. That's kind of where I would lean, but I don't think it's as big a lock as 1-2 as people think it is.
That's my point. I think we have to be a little bit divergent in thought here and not just assume it's all going to go to plan, because it never goes to plan.
No, it doesn't.
The one bet I do like, Matt, I do like Anthony Richardson over 4.5.
Okay. There we go. That's Michael's bet. You got Matt Eumanns there on the NFL Draft as well. Look out for the NFL Draft Guide coming up later on this month. He is Matt Eumanns, host of VEASAN tonight. Check him out later today with our buddy Wes Reynolds. Eumanns, enjoy the rest of the Masters, buddy.
Okay, you too. Thanks.
Good stuff there from Matt Eumanns. We wrap up the show on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You should. Michael Lombardi did. Mm-hmm. Well, you can also convert your BetMGM points and MGM Rewards points you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi. Speaking of traveling to Vegas, you traveled here, hanging out here for the spring. Also, your buddy Bill Berman.
Came in town. He's here to visit. Trip. Yeah, excited to have him here. Yeah. You know, going to hang out here. Going to go stadium swim tomorrow and see the golf tournament. Hopefully, there'll be a golf tournament tomorrow.
But I was going to say.
At least we got some nice weather here, and I can go outside and get some of this frostbite off me that has been created by you in this studio today. All good.
There we go. It all goes back to the good.
But I think, you know, the one thing we learned today, I love that Vinny admitted he wouldn't put he doesn't do the college draft. Mm-hmm. And it's not because they don't want to do it. It's because they don't have inside information. Mm-hmm. And do they have inside information on NFL games? No, but they've been doing it so long, they have a sense of it, right? Yeah. So our pro betting tip today, Femi, is simply this. If you really, in the NFL draft betting market, the sports book and public are on the same plane. The mock drafts aren't the gospel. Mm-hmm. And the best path to profitability maybe fading the noise. Mm. And I think that's really, really what it is, because when have we not watched a draft where Mel and Todd and Daniel, they're all shocked by the pick. Mm-hmm. You know, remember the old NBA draft where they had every pick wired down, you know, like this. Well, they all know them, right? The NFL draft, nobody's giving out their pick. Like, I don't have a sense of, could the Colts take Will Levis? I think so. Could they not? I think so. Right? Could the Seattle take Walker, the defensive lineman from Texas Tech? Sure. You know, I don't know. Like, there's so many scenarios. Jordan Schultz mentioned Detroit taking a quarterback. I don't see that, because when you're picking this high, you're not picking for next year. It's not a luxury pick. Now, if one happened to be there when you're down there, of course. And look, every year we see this. Every year the quarterbacks are going early, earlier, earlier. When in the draft happens, they go later, later, later.
You know, it's interesting, because like the point that we're making here, and I think it's an excellent pro tip. Oh, by the way, go to VSiN.com/tips to check out all the pro tips from across the network. But oftentimes the draft, especially this time of year, they're just educated guesses that people
are
making. And when some of these moves happen, you'll see an assumption that's made in the market that's not based in reality. I mean, think back to last year when the Jacksonville Jaguars tagged Cam Robinson. Everyone said, oh, well, then it has to be Aiden Hutchinson.
Right.
It can no longer be Evan Neal or Ikem Ekwonu. It's got to be Hutchinson. Meanwhile, Walker was sitting right there, and that's who Jacksonville actually coveted. And now this year, when the Carolina Panthers moved up with the Chicago Bears, the assumption was made that it's C.J. Stroud. The betting market goes crazy. I saw as high as minus 500 for C.J. Stroud to go first overall. Now we're sitting here today on April 7th, minus 110 each way, Stroud versus Young.
So, okay, so everything is predicated off of an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Todd McShay, Mel, Dan, it's their opinion and their ranking of the player. So what you're now doing is you're assuming that their opinion is correct, and then you're assuming that their prediction is correct. So now you've made two assumptions, of which could be completely wrong. There's no like Anthony Richardson is going to be a great, you know, graded here. That's a wrong assumption, because you're assuming it from somebody who's never actually been in the room making a pick. And I'm not saying you should listen to me and not them. I'm just saying you have to take it with a little bit of uncertainty to it, because they've never actually done the job. They're being portrayed as if they're being sold to you as if they've done the job, but they've never been in the room. They've never put a board together. They've never had to make a decision. They've never made a trade. You know, Daniel Jeremiah has only been an area scout. He's never been an executive in the league. So, and he does a wonderful job. I think he's tremendous, but that doesn't mean he's made a decision. And so what you have to do is, and even though if you made a decision, I mean, look, Bill Polian said Lamar Jackson needs to be a wide receiver, and he's made decisions. He's in the Hall of Fame. It's an opinion, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to take the opinion with a grain of salt. It's not gospel. And when they get all upset on draft day because it doesn't go the way they had it planned, which it happens every year, why should we think it's going to go as planned?
That I think that's probably my favorite part of the draft.
It's like the shock industry in their faces. Oh, my God, what are they doing? Like, what are they doing? They can't pick him here. Yes, they can. Like, yes, they can. Like, I always ask, like, look, I loved Michael Meyer watching him on television, the tight end from Notre Dame. I thought he was great. When I studied him, he wasn't as great as I thought he was. Mm-hmm. You know, that doesn't mean he's not a good player. It just, I didn't have him in that, oh, my God, this guy could change the game. Meanwhile, the Washington tight end from Georgia, you know, everybody labeled him as a blocker. But when you study him on tape, he's not a blocker. He's a receiver. He's a big body receiver. Kid's from Vegas, by the way.
Yep.
You know, and so he's got this unique skill set that's he's going to be more dynamic in the passing game than he is actually in the run game. And so there's all these perceptions you get labeled. This guy's labeled this. This guy's labeled that. And it's all starting from a wrong point of an assumption. Yeah. And the teams have difference of opinion. Like, you know, like my opinion compared to somebody else's opinion in their draft is going to be completely wrong. We might be different. That's what makes the draft so much fun. Mm-hmm. But you got to understand the grading systems of teams. You got to understand how players get picked. And when you don't know that, it's easy to say this guy's going to go third overall. Well, there's no way you could grade Anthony Richardson high enough to make him the third pick overall.
The funny thing is that all these guys, when they say that, oh my gosh, what are they doing? They get the fans riled up. Like Texans fans right now are going through it because they're like, oh my God, we might not take a quarterback, because all draft process, they've been conditioned to saying we're taking a quarterback.
Well, they need a quarterback. They need a quarterback. But here's what they don't think of is if we draft this player, we still might need a quarterback. Like the object of the draft is to satisfy the position that you pick. If there's doubt, if I drafted Anthony Richardson, I would love his athleticism. I would be marveled at it. I would say, wow, this is a freak of nature. This guy's 6'5", he runs all this. But I'm not sure I have a quarterback. I'm not sure. I mean, to me, taking Anthony Richardson would be like in the old days when you took an NBA high school player. You took Darryl Dawkins coming out of Maynard Evans High School, right? Like, this is a physical specimen, but I don't, you know, we're taking him in the fifth pick overall. He's great. He's got this body, but we're not sure. You're not sure. You don't have it. It's not like if you take Bryce Young, you're sure he can play the position. Now, you may be uncomfortable with his height. You might have to move things around to adjust for that. But you're sure he can lead the team, and you're sure he can play the position.
Back to your analogy with the high school prospect in the NBA draft, you could get LeBron James or you can get Kwame Brown.
Exactly.
That's the spectrum.
I mean, think about Anthony Bennett was supposed to be the greatest basketball player in the history of basketball.
Well, he's a UNLV guy, so we got to hush.
My point is that you just don't know.
Yeah, no.
You just don't know. I mean, and so, look, I think to me that's where you gain an advantage in this draft if you're going to bet some of the draft picks, because you don't count on them having the reliable information. You know, they're not going to be able to say this is what you should do. Nobody's telling them what to do. And then you're also, here's another assumption. We see this all the time. Team needs. Who's making these team needs? Some guy that doesn't know the team?
Yep.
Right? Like
an outsider.
An outsider who doesn't know. Maybe they have a rookie. That maybe they have a young player on their roster who's really good. They're counting on him to be a good player. So you see that as a need, but they don't because they have a young player. So everything is based on how they see the need, right? Yeah. It's how you see. So now the starting premise is completely wrong because, you know, the team doesn't think they have that need. They have a right tackle that they've been redshirting all year that they think could be a good player. Meanwhile, the guy who's doing it, oh, they need a right tackle because you don't know half the players on their team.
I mean, it's the famous Seahawks draft. I believe it was the 2012 draft where the graders gave them an F for their whole team draft, and that was the draft class that helped propel them to win a Super Bowl.
Go through it. Go through all those grades. I mean, yeah. It's ridiculous. I mean, Baltimore doesn't have a very talented team, but they've had A's in every single draft. How is this possible? How does this make sense? So, and the grades are given out based on who's given the information to the guy who's grading.
Yeah.
And the grades are based on the grader, how his board ranks up.
Yep.
As if his board's correct.
So there's an inherent bias.
Exactly. Grade. And that's why you have to. That's why Vinny doesn't let books make a play.
I wish they could, because, you know, like we said, even playing field is what it is. So if, wherever you are, I mean, across the nation, you can bet on the drafts. Make sure you do it carefully and keep your ear to the street, because there's some money out there to be made. That does it for us, though. Thank you to Vinny Maiulo. Thank you to Jordan Schultz, NFL insider at The Score, and thank you to Matt Eumanns, VSiN host of
VSiN. And I'm
VSiN
bringing a heater
tonight.
Tomorrow. I'll see you at 7 o'clock tomorrow.
Michael Lombardi
morning.
Will be in a beanie tomorrow at 7 a.m.
With
West Coast time.
With gloves on.
10 a.m. Jesus East God. Coast time. VSiN Best Bets is coming up next.